Now, returning to John chapter 21, before we come to our message this morning, let's seek God's help in prayer. Father, we thank you again for the precious word of God that we have read. We thank you for the scriptures that have been written for our benefit, preserved down through the ages, that we might gather this morning to read them, to study them, and meditate upon them. We ask that thou would come and bless thy truth to our heart. Thy word is truth. We thank thee that not one jot nor tittle of the word of God shall ever pass away. Heaven and earth might pass away, but thy word abides forever. May thy spirit who penned these words and preserved them come now and speak them to our hearts. Bring them to life within our breast in order that we might live unto the glory and honour of thy great name. Instruct us and teach us, we pray. May we be willing and obedient students, and may the fruit of the gospel be seen within our lives for the glory of thy great name. Amen. Now this chapter, John chapter 21, begins with what is the third appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples following his resurrection. And beginning at verse 3, we read of Peter and some of the other disciples who set out to go fishing. And as they fish, we read of how they work all night without any results. They fished all night and caught nothing. But in the morning hour, when the Lord Jesus Christ shows up, everything is about to change. Now this is a passage that reflects for us the barrenness of man's service without Christ. All of our efforts can never produce even a single fish. All of our human efforts without the Savior will always be fruitless. But when the Lord Jesus Christ appears and gives a word of instruction, the results will change. We will go from being barren to being bountiful. And as I read through this passage, I was reminded that too often our Christian service is self-driven. We in ourselves strive to accomplish godly things through our human abilities. But whenever we use our strengths and our abilities alone to do something for God, the result is always the same. We catch nothing. It's always failure. That's good news, believe it or not. Because success in the Christian life is not based upon my ability or my strengths or the amount of effort that we put in of ourselves. Success in the Christian life is based not upon what we do, but upon what Christ has done. And our success in the Christian life is based upon how much we submit to the power and the abilities of the Lord. Here's what the Apostle Paul had to say on the subject in Galatians chapter 2. And verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. That's the key to successful service. It's not me living, but Christ living through me. The Christian life is not a struggle of all of our best efforts put together. It's a submission to the work and the efforts of Christ. It's God the Holy Spirit working through us and in us in order to accomplish the Father's will. And that's comforting for us to know. because my efforts based upon my abilities and my strength are few and weak in the light of God's strength and ability. God is able to do so much more than all of our efforts combined. And here in this passage, the disciples are going to learn a great lesson, that without Christ they can do nothing. But in obedience to the Savior's command and in faith in him, that they're able to accomplish far greater things than they could ever have expected themselves. Charles Wesley illustrated this very well in the words of his hymn, "Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to that alone, laughs at the impossibilities and cries, it shall be done." A service that's based on the faith, on the a service that's based on faith and the ability of the Almighty God is the service that God will bless. That's the service that will prosper. So let's look at this passage a little bit closer this morning and see that man's work always results in failure. The first thing we find the disciples doing here in this chapter is setting out on their road to go fishing. Now, this is not a sermon about fishing. Don't get me wrong. There are some things wrong with what the disciples are doing here, though. And those things are the things that they're trying to do based upon human effort alone. That is an effort without regard to the divine will of God. Why do I say that? Because back in chapter 20 of John's Gospel, just the previous chapter, we find the Savior meeting with his disciples. And in verse 21, the Lord Jesus said to them, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And then in verse 22, he breathes upon them and gives them the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't believe for one moment that when the Lord Jesus said that he's going to send his disciples out, that he meant them to go out fishing. Not on the Sea of Tiberias, at least. I don't believe that when Christ breathed upon them and imputed the Holy Spirit of God to them, that it was that they might catch more fish. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has commissioned his disciples to go in his name and to spread the gospel tidings, the good news that Jesus saves, spread it throughout the world. And he's given them the power of his Holy Spirit to bear witness to this testimony. How sad it is that in the very next chapter, we find the disciples not out spreading the good tidings of gospel joy, but on the Sea of Tiberias in a little fishing boat, spending their hours trying to catch a few fish. How sad it is that they've gone back to what they were doing before Christ had called them to follow him. Now, their efforts in themselves were not wrong. It's not that there's something amiss with going fishing. That's not the problem. The problem is that they're not doing what Christ had instructed them to do. The will of God was not at all in the things that they have given themselves to do. They're too concerned with their own efforts and their own desires. And so often today in so many churches we have got so many activities that in themselves that are not wrong, but they're not what God wants us to do. God is not in them. And these things are done without regard of the will and plans and purposes of God. I've been hearing during the week of some of the things that's taking place next Lord's Day in some of the various churches round about. for their Easter services. Some are having Easter egg hunts. Some are having donkey rides for the children. Others will have bouncing castles and activities. I was asked, what are you doing for Easter Sunday? I said, I'm preaching the gospel. And we'll be remembering the life and death of our Saviour at the table of remembrance. That's what I'll be doing. I hope you'll join me. There's nothing wrong with sharing chocolates with children or having fun and playing games. But it's not what the Lord has called us to do upon his day. So many things that are done in the name of Christ do not have the power of Christ resting upon them. So many things that are done are not what the Lord has actually called us to do. And these disciples were doing something without regard to the will and the plans and purposes of God. Their efforts were self-motivated and self-made. They're carried out without regard of whether or not this is the will of God for us. And notice what happens. Notice the results of such a disregard for the will of God. Verse 3 says that they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. The product of all of the self-willed service is evidenced in the empty nets of the fishermen. They caught nothing. They saw no gain. There was lots of activity and busyness, but no fruitfulness. All of their efforts were spent, and the results are barren. Because instead of doing what Christ had commanded them, they did what they wanted. They did what they thought might make them feel good. They did what they thought others might appreciate. And now they're reaping the failures of that self-service. Whenever we set out to do something that God is not in, the end result will always be the same. Nothing of any spiritual value will come from our human efforts alone. It's only when God works through us that results will be seen. And I fear that's why so many pastors, so many Sunday school teachers, so many elders and deacons and Christian workers are burnt out spiritually and emotionally and physically, because we labor in our own abilities and in our own strengths. And so much work is carried out without regard to the will of God. And from those human efforts, the results will be zero. It will be zero. Our human efforts without God fall short. So we see a night of man's work that resulted in failure. Notice also that a word from the Master that required faith from the disciples. In verse 4, the story of failure begins to change because the Lord Jesus Christ has turned up. Now at first he arrives unnoticed, but whenever the Lord Jesus Christ is present, things begin to happen. And with just a few words from the resurrected Savior, all of the night's wasted activity is about to change. You know, it's wonderful to think and to know that even in the midst of all of our failed efforts, that the Lord Jesus Christ can draw alongside, make his presence known, and turn those losses into gains when we begin to put our faith and trust in him. He will take over from us in our failures, and he will transform them into victories. God's ability to work in our lives is limited only by our willingness to let him take over. And so when the Master gives a command, our faith must rely not upon ourselves, but upon the Lord. and in obedience we must do what he has said. So the Saviour appears to the disciples, and there he stands on the shore of the sea, and he has some words for them. Verse 4 tells us that the morning was come. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And yet he gives them a word of encouragement. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, children. Notice how the Lord addresses his wayward disciples. Children. What comfort there is in that greeting. The Lord Jesus Christ standing on the seashore, unrecognized by the disciples at this time. And it's not until the Savior speaks to them that they begin to recognize who it was that stood upon the shore. Here are the disciples of Christ, back in the fishing boats that the Savior had called them from. Here they are, after having been sent out and commissioned by the resurrected Lord to go and be disciples unto the ends of the earth. And where do we find them but in a fishing boat? And Christ our Savior, in his tender mercy and love, doesn't address them with a word of correction. He calls them children. Despite the fact that they had set out on their own, and without regard to the divine will, he still calls them his children. What a comfort to know that even when we are not at our best, even when we are not always doing the things that Christ has commanded us to do, that even in the midst of all of our failures, that when the Savior draws near, he calls us his children. Despite our stubborn pride, and despite our foolish self-will, we are still his children, and his word is still an encouragement to the wearied heart. And just like the disciples didn't recognize him until he spoke, sometimes we are so busy, we fail to recognize the Lord until he speaks to our hearts. We're so caught up in the things that we're doing, so busy in all of the affairs of life, that we fail to see the Savior draw near. And it's only when he begins to speak that we recognize that we've been toiling all night without the Lord and catching nothing. He speaks to us as his children. He would bring to us words of encouragement. And I'm sure you've experienced in your own lives times when you've been down and discouraged, and there's failures all around you, and it seems that you've been toiling and laboring and catching nothing. And the word of Christ comes and lifts your spirits. It brings joy to your heart. Perhaps you've come to the house of God this morning, bogged down in the things of the world, overcome by all of the affairs of life and struggling, barely getting by. Oh, that there would be a word of the Lord to your soul this morning. A reminder that the Savior stands upon the shore and calls you his child. Oh, those blessed words of encouragement from the Savior. But not only words of encouragement, words of instruction. The Savior asks his disciples a question. Children, have you any meat? Have you any meat? Now the Savior knew that they'd caught nothing. And the answer comes back in the negative. They answered him, no, we have caught nothing. We have toiled all night and caught nothing. And so the Lord Jesus gives them a word of instruction. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Just a very simple direction, one that would result in a wonderful discovery. Now this instruction requires faith from these men. They've been out on the water all night. They've been throwing out their nets and pulling them in all night. They haven't caught so much as a sardine, the smallest fish in the sea. And the Savior comes and tells them, throw your net out again. One more time. Throw it out on the right-hand side of the ship. I can imagine the excuses. But we've fished the right-hand side and the left-hand side. And we've shipped to the fore. And we've fished to the rear. We've cast the net all around all night. And we've caught nothing. There's no fish here. But the Savior commanded, and they did as they were told. That's commendable. They cast therefore, did as they were instructed. They throw their nets out to the right-hand side of the boat, as the Savior had told. Now this must have sounded foolish to these seasoned professional fishermen. These are men that have fished for years upon the sea. They know their way around the Sea of Galilee. They knew how to fish. They knew the best places to fish, the best ways to fish. But at the word of Christ, they threw their net out one more time. Sometimes the Lord asks us to do things that make us scratch our head, seem a little bit questionable to us. We sometimes think that we know better than God Himself. It's not our place to question the commands of God. It's our place to obey. So when God impresses upon your heart some instruction, some duty, perhaps to witness to a certain person, maybe someone not overly well known to you, do what you're told. Do as the Lord instructs. We may not understand the whys and the wherefores, but we know the who gives the instruction. We know the one who gives the command, and that should satisfy any doubts that we have. Our obedience to the Lord should be summed up in the words, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, I don't understand, but according to your word, I will do as I'm told. He is the Lord who knows everything. He knows the whys and the wherefores, even if we don't. So even when we don't understand, our faith must still go to work, must still be obedient, must still be trusting in the Lord, relying upon His strength. His ways are perfect, we're told. He's the sovereign God who knows the end from the beginning. He knows the way that we should take. How can we doubt Him when He instructs us to do a certain thing in His name? You'll find that in obedience to the word of Christ, there was a miraculous take of fish that resulted. Their work had ended in failure. But obedience to the word and command of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His appearance on the scene and His instruction to them, their night of failure becomes a night of fruitfulness. What a difference when the Lord Jesus Christ empowers His servant. So when He instructs them to cast the net to the right-hand side of the ship, we're told that they cast therefore. And now they were not able to draw in the net. Such were the multitude of fish. A night spent fishing without success now becomes a morning of struggling to keep up with all that they've caught. And the only difference was that the Lord Jesus Christ was involved in this last throw of the net. See, when the Lord gets involved, there are definite results. Definite results. It says they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. After a night of aimless fishing, now their nets are so full that they can't even hold all that they have. When you and I serve the Lord, obedient to His commands, there will be definite results. If we are doing what our Savior has commanded us to do, we will see a fruitfulness that only He can give. Now the results may not come when we would like them, but rest assured that a labor that's carried out in the power of God's Holy Spirit, that will never be a fruitless work. Never be fruitless. It will produce lasting fruit. So we ought to be encouraging ourselves that when we gather here for worship, when we engage in works of evangelism for the glory of our Savior, when we carry out His bidding according to His will, that will never be a fruitless work. The Lord has promised that His word will not return unto Him void. His word will always accomplish His perfect purposes. And now the disciples have a catch that is so great that their nets can barely hold all the fish that they've gathered in. And the only thing that made the difference between this cast of the net and all of the others was their obedience to the word of Christ. There were definite results. The miraculous had happened. The Lord had intervened, taken all of the worthless efforts of man and brought about a wonderful success. Now there's no praise for the efforts of the disciples. They're simply obeying the command of the Savior. And it's the Lord working through them that produced this result. That's how it is when we serve the Lord. When we by faith do the things that Christ has commanded us to do, the glory is not ours, the glory is His. That's where it should be, of course. It's not about promoting ourselves. It's not about promoting a church or a denomination. It's about glorifying the Savior, about praising His name. It's that the Lord Jesus receives all of the recognition when the Lord works through the lives of His children. The fruitfulness can only be attributed to the grace of God. It's the Lord that produces these divine and blessed results. And He's the one that's worthy of the praise. So I trust that you'll join me in seeking to dedicate ourselves unto the Lord and to His service. That the things that we do for His name, that we'll not do in our own strength, or to fulfill our own will, or to satisfy ourselves or those around us, or to gain the applause of the world and the well done of those that we might meet. May the things that we do be done unto the Lord according to His word for the glory of His name. And may the success of our faithfulness and our service, may it not be attributed to anything that we have done, but to God be the glory, great things He has done. And may we, after a night of fruitless toil and catching nothing, submit ourselves to the Savior, to His word and to His command. And may we see the nets full to bursting with a harvest for the Master. May the Lord in His grace speak to our souls and cause us to be fruitful Christians for His name and for His glory. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Father, we ask that Thou would be pleased to take these few simple thoughts this morning and apply them to every heart. And may it be that our service for Christ will be in accordance to Thy word, in fulfillment of the divine will. And may we know the blessing that rests upon such service, where we can truly say that it is Christ living in us and through us. May we be the hands and the feet and the mouth of Christ in these days. And may the glory of the Lord be seen.